from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from
Mullins. Oh!
An impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for it must be a Tuesday, but it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you. Joe Fisher with the night off, as Medium Joe needs a little bit of attention, so we'll let him have that. He carried the heavy load last week while I was gone. But across from me, through that glass, through that beautiful, beautiful glass, I see a 96 Mazda Miata, soft top, convertible. Jordan Schultze on the ones and twos.
Good to see you, bro. Good to be here.
Good to see you, my friend. How you been? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
I know, man. Good. Actually caught Joe Fish at the Journey Def Leppard concert last night here in Portland at Moda. And I know you went out to see Dave Matthews.
That's true.
Got to hear how that was. We've kind of been in the world of nostalgic music for the last week or so. I love it.
Yeah, I got back yesterday around 5 o'clock. There is a traffic situation up there between Battleground and Kalama.
Oh, God.
That is not really fun. I don't usually come home that way, but I had to take some amigos to the airport, so I had to go through Seattle. Normally, I cut down through Yakima into the gorge. So that added an extra 40 minutes to my drive. When you're 20 miles from your house, it's not really rad.
That I have ADHD, so that would just not my brain. If that were me, that sucks.
Cigarettes, my friend, cigarettes.
Yes, back in the day when I woke up at 4 a.m. regularly for radio, that was me. Cigarettes indeed, baby.
But I had a nice weekend, and I didn't really tell anybody before I went out there, and I made the choice, and I'm very happy with it. I am now retired from Dave at the Gorge.
Oh, this was like your curtain call, your final show.
This is my curtain call.
All right.
It's been almost 20 years. I'm tired. There's not much I haven't seen. The shows were excellent. Trombone Shorty, Corey Wong, guest appearances, those were awesome.
Did something happen this time around?
No. It was great. I'm just done, man. I'm just hanging her up.
I mean, at some point, there is you can only accomplish so much. There's only so much to do at a concert in the same venue every year. I don't know. I haven't been to that show yet. I really, really want to go. So I can't believe I've grown up here, never gone.
It's really fun. That venue is really, really cool. And I think that's part of it as well, is that I've been going to that venue since 2006, and it's just an incredible place. Like the scenery and the culture in the campground and just the ability for that place to get artists who play there to get up and play in ways they never thought they ever could play is really rad. But it's 100 degrees,
and Live Nation now owns it, and they're the devil.
Oh.
And
no, they're great. What are we talking
about? Yeah, and I've just seen that place transform over the last almost 20 years. I mean, everything you need is there, but there's a little store in campground, in the campground.
Yeah.
Where you can buy, like, some beer, some deodorant, box of Cheez-Its.
Everything you would
some
need.
Water.
For a camping trip.
Yeah, yeah. If your inflatable mattress popped, you could buy a new one.
Okay.
There are no prices on anything.
Uh-oh. So they can charge whatever the hell they want that particular day.
Because it doesn't matter. You're like, I need this water.
Okay, $69.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I think it's just a lot. It's a lot of that, you know. It's a 5-hour drive. My wife's birthday was on Saturday, and I missed that because I was out there.
Wow.
Which I do every year, and
ballsy.
You can tell that goes well in my house.
By the grin on your face, yeah, yeah.
It goes really well in my father-in-law's house.
Really feeling that.
Yeah. So I'm hanging it up. If you have any questions, I'm more than willing to walk you through what it's like to see shows at the Gorge. I've seen, you know, I don't know, somewhere like 60 plus shows out there.
Oh, I've been to a Gorge show. Yeah. I've just never seen DMB. Never. I mean, I need to get out there. I've heard that it is just one of the best shows you'll ever see in your life.
So. Well, the band was great. I mean, they did a Europe tour. They did their normal summer tour. And I bet you nobody had as good of a time as we did out there.
Hell yeah,
and
man.
So that's great.
I can imagine. Good for y'all. I think we were having a very similar fun time, even inside the Moda Center last night. Let's just say, Joe, anybody that went to that concert, and I'm talking like there were young kids that went there too, nobody could have passed a drug test afterwards just from the contact high that we all got.
Was it the full arena?
It was the theater.
It wasn't the
cloud
theater. Oh, okay, so it was cut off a little bit.
Yeah, so it probably had a 15,000 seat, okay. You know, with one end cut off for the stage behind there. But
that's a pretty dynamic duo to be doing shows.
A Def Leppard Journey combo, and I don't know if you knew this, but the rest of their tour had Steve Miller Band attached to some
cities.
Yeah, so my wife and I were actually kind of stoked looking at the lineups, like, oh, baby, we're going to get to see Steve Miller tonight, too. And unfortunately, that was not on the Portland marquee, but, you know, still two amazing people to serve, two amazing groups.
Which is interesting because Steve Miller lives up in the San Juan Islands.
I know.
Yeah, you would think it's close enough.
I think he's going to be at the Seattle show here tomorrow, I believe, the Def Leppard T-Mobile Park Journey show is. Yeah.
I've seen Steve Miller multiple times. And the last time I saw him, Peter Frampton opened for him out at Edgefield.
Wow.
And I actually went to the show to see Peter Frampton because I'd seen Steve Miller multiple times. And Steve Miller mailed in that show, and Peter Frampton was phenomenal.
Hey, that's really cool. I love hearing that. It's like, you know what, the opener, not everybody goes for the opener to a concert. So that's pretty sweet, man.
Yeah.
I know it's Peter Frampton, but still cool.
Sure, sure. I probably would not be at the Journey Def Leppard show. I don't find either of those bands that enticing to me. But I imagine there was a lot of people there having a lot of fun.
I mean, honestly, all generations. Like, I was shocked. My wife and I were like, I wonder if we'll be some of the younger people there. Nope, there were 20-year-olds there. Everybody wanted to see, and I think it was more Journey for that than Def Leppard, but it was kind of amazing to see, honestly, not a seat empty. I think it was a sold-out concert, and 80 down to 10 years old and younger there. It's pretty cool.
The camp I was in staying at the Gorge, I was the youngest person there.
That a baby.
Which was depressing because I felt like the oldest.
Oh. Well, they're all just letting loose.
And then I think it was Saturday night, I was in the pit and I was standing next to this really, really sweet couple. They were like 30 and they just got married.
Oh.
And being around a 30-year-old couple who just got married made me feel a lot better.
That's good. It's good. A little honeymoon stage. You're closer to your age.
I was like, oh man, I've been around 50 and 60-year-olds all day. Like, you guys are awesome.
My people.
Yeah.
I'll never forget worst concert.
And they hit me up for drugs.
Well, hey, why wouldn't they? You're the guy closest to their age. Of course they would.
I don't do drugs. Drugs are bad, okay?
Drugs are bad, okay? Don't do them. But worst concert experience, like going and seeing a singer ever, was Boz Scaggs. Had been really, it was a blues fest a few years ago, wanting to catch him here, and got tickets from the station. He closed with the Lido Shuffle, you know?
Great
his
tune.
Song. as you talk about Steve Miller mailing it in. Boz, he not only mailed that song in, it was like he put resting bitch face on during that entire 4 minutes. He's like, been singing this for 30 years. F you all for loving it. I effing hate doing this. Yeah. He did not want to be singing that song.
I'm here for a check, and I can't believe I'm at a blues fest on the 4th of July.
Basically.
I hate my life.
No. Honestly, he looked pretty happy the entire concert up until that point. I think it was just a middle finger to anybody like me that still liked Lido Shuffle. So,
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do have a baseball show for you tonight. Like I said, Joe Fisher, we're giving him the night off as he has done plenty of heavy lifting for me over the last month. So we'll give him the night off. But Schultzy and I are here with you for the next 2 hours. We got a lot to get to. I got one team in the American League going the wrong way. I got one team in the National League that could surprise people with the best record in baseball or the best record in the National League. Plus, I want to argue maybe this guy should win the Cy Young in the American League that everyone's kind of sleeping on. And if we got time, I might push it to next week. If we got time, is Shohei the MVP of the National League? Because there's another guy that... it's kind of got something to say about that right now. So we might get in that today. We might get into it next week. There's still some time left in the season. But I'd like to start off just looking at the wild card standings. In the American League, the National League, there's a lot of S going on, a lot of movement, a lot of wild things happening. So we'll start there. Well, let's kick it. Schultzy, your choice. National League or American League?
I'll start with National League.
Smart man.
It's like I hear enough about the American League. I want to hear a little bit about the Phillies. The Mets have actually been playing well enough to compete for a wild card spot. We could talk about all that.
When we come back, let's take a look at the National League wild card situation and how that might pan out in the last month of the baseball season. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 716 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326. Fan text line lets you interact with us throughout the entire show. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I am the proud owner of a 2022 Bronco Sport that I bought from Vancouver Ford. They have been absolutely fantastic. Head up there. See Monty. Tell him the fan sent you. Tell him Jason sent you. Don't tell him I sent you. Monty will get confused.
Suk has pull.
But if you say Suk sent you, then Monty and Justin are, Monty and Jason are super big homies.
They're so tight.
Head on up there. They'll get you what you need. We got a lot to get to. There is, you know, Cy Young chatter for an unlikely candidate. Teams going the wrong way and teams potentially going the best route. So we got a lot to get to today. I'm really excited. It's September. This is it.
Yeah, best time of
it's
the year.
It's kind of poop or get off, you know? So, and we're kind of seeing that. And we're seeing that in so many aspects of the game right now. And I think that's really rad. I was a little anti the extra wild card spot simply because I'm always worried that baseball wants to go the NBA route and, like, sell out for just entertainment and crush the integrity of the sport.
Let more than half the league in at the end.
Yeah,
of the year.
Yeah. So I get a little gatekeeper about that. But it, to MLB's defense, it's done what they want to do, and it's made the postseason race a lot more exciting. And Schultzy, you chose the National League, and that's really what it boils down to. The American League's got a lot going on, but for different reasons, and we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. But the National League will sit here right now. Dodgers are in the lead in the West. Phillies in the East and the Brewers are in the Central. The Brewers have that division locked up. We're not going anywhere with that. Cardinals have been playing a little better. Cubs have definitely been playing better, but that division is pretty much over. The Phillies got a good lead in the East as well. I mean, I think we're safe to say now in September 3rd that they've probably got that.
Yeah, 6.5 games. That's hard to surmount. It's basically like you got to go 22 and what, 3 the rest of the month out
to kind of figure it out. Yeah, and the Dodgers have a comfortable lead, but their problem is, and that's where we'll get into with the wild card. The Dodgers' problem is that they got the two hottest teams in baseball are sitting there in their division right there, and that's right now the NL wild card standings sit at the San Diego Padres in first for the first wild card, Diamondbacks in second. A on technicality, one game back of San Diego. Atlanta is in the third spot, but they only have a half game over the Mets. Chicago's four games back. That seems a little tough.
Yeah.
Four games seems a little tough.
Anything's possible, though. Craig Council.
Anything is possible. But there's the sneaky little Mets there at a half game back. Schultz, I think we can both agree that the Diamondbacks and the Padres, I mean, record-wise, have just been absolutely phenomenal since the All-Star break. But when you watch them play, they look good. They look the part. Padres are about to get Tatis back.
Oh, yeah. Just reinstated him. Excited, like, final month of the season with what is still probably their best player.
If I'm looking at this whole situation, I think what scares me to death is if I'm an Atlanta Braves fan. I don't think the Mets are very good, but yo, Atlanta, you've let them back in this race. Because Atlanta has a ton of problems, okay? Injuries have destroyed them. You can argue their two best players have been out for the year in Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna Jr. And then Albies goes down. But if you look around the rest of that team, Matt Olson, welcome back to planet Earth, my friend. Last year seems a little bit of lightning in a bottle for him. It's kind of like kind of like Freddie Freeman, who? And it's like, boy, I wish I had Freddie Freeman now. This situation is fascinating. And Schultz, I'll ask you, when it comes down to it, do you think the Mets or even the Cubs can potentially overtake the Braves for this third wild card spot?
I mean, I think the Mets have a better chance than Chicago because you're looking at teams that essentially, like Atlanta has a bunch of guys that have regressed to the mean, right? You know, Duvall's getting older. I think he's hitting under 200. He's kind of like Atlanta's Mitch Garver, yet they still keep throwing him out there, keep giving it bats because I'm assuming some algorithmic metric that says he's going to be the best in that matchup that day. There's not like a bunch of guys jumping off the page, but they've got the most winning culture out of anybody else competing for the wild card, even beyond the Cubs and the Mets. The Mets, though, they've been really good. And Francisco Lindor, who was having a pretty crappy beginning to his season, has now just turned into a really great player, having a pretty normal season for him. Pete Alonso's hitting out of his ass because it's his free agent season. Is he going to be back? Probably not. But I feel like the Mets are kind of trending in the right direction as opposed to the Cubs have kind of just been up and down a little bit. They don't really have as many like clutch hitters as the Mets do. And yeah, the Braves, it's like they can only play hold on for so long. They're 6.5 games up right now. They're 6.5 games out of the final spot in the division. Definitely, I would say it's really hard for them looking at just a half game over the Mets to be able to hold on to that lead. But 4.5 over the Cubs, that's kind of more of like a division lead we're seeing around the rest of the year.
Well, I think what's fascinating when it comes to the Mets, and you mentioned it, is Frankie Lindor. Is Francisco Lindor, when he was traded from Cleveland to the Mets, it was like, okay, this makes sense. It's an up-and-coming absolute superstar. They give him the giant contract, the $300 million deal, and he's kind of garbage. I mean, his defense is always going to be great. You can't lose defensive metrics. But at the plate, as a switch-hitting guy, he couldn't hit from either side of the plate. And now he sits here right now, and this is kind of spoiling the tease that I had, but is Francisco Lindor not the MVP of the National League? The Mets would not be here without him.
I mean, he's clutched up for him. I would argue that former Mariner Jesse Winker, his walk-off for him the other day, he's actually hit since he was acquired. So it's kind of crazy when you get these cheap end-of-season acquisitions on top of a team that's playing more like they should, because this is what everybody thought the Mets were supposed to do with this highly paid roster, right? And really, all they did was shed the really crappy starting pitching contracts they got in Verlander and Scherzer. Now they've still got that same nucleus that they've had for the last, what, 4 or 6 years? Starling Marte's been around. He's a vet. He's been in the playoffs before. You just look down the list of guys that keep clutching up for them. Jesse Winker, been in the playoffs, been there before. And Francisco Lindor to kind of be the cherry on top. Like, I don't see a problem or a weakness with the Mets roster right now. And I can't believe I'm talking so positively about the Mets, but I am.
I'd like to keep this conversation going about this National League wild card and how it pans out. But I'm going to pull back the curtain here for a minute. Schultzy, I'm about to pee my pants.
Well, then let's go to break, bro. I'll do a sports update a little bit early.
So we're gonna bounce out of here and come back real quick. I hope my boss isn't listening because he's gonna be super mad about this. But it's gotta go down, my friends. If Joe Fisher were here, I'd just say talk for a minute and I'd run out of here. So when we come back, I want to keep it with this NL wild card, and then we'll switch over to the American League because I do want to know that, yeah, this Mets-Braves thing is also fascinating, but the Diamondbacks-Padres are fascinating for their own. So we'll stick in the National League and we'll keep going, but first, there's Schultzy with sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Excuse me for the early exit, but we are back here live on 10 of the Fam. Do this bad boy every single Tuesday night. Thank you for tuning in on YouTube, the Odyssey app, and after the show, we podcast so you can get it wherever you need to. We're talking here the NL wildcard, and I kind of want to finish this up before we switch over to the American League. And the last thoughts on the Mets. I think what is really fascinating about this team is you've got an owner that is a little somewhere between a Steinbrenner and a Cuban, like an owner that clearly cares, that is willing to spend money, but sometimes can't get out of his own way and make dumb decisions. You mentioned Pete Alonso will most likely walk at the end of the year, but they've got him now. And they're here. So we'll finish up with these two before we slide to the other two. Do you think the Mets catch the Braves? Do you think the Mets make the playoffs? Here we are, September 3rd. Do you think they will sneak in?
Yes, I think they'll do it. I do. And, I mean, you're still only looking at what the Diamondbacks have a two-game lead over the Braves. So it's not like the Braves could still be caught and not make it in. We could see the Padres or the D-backs theoretically go on like a 4 or 5-game losing streak and hurt their playoff chances. But I think the Mets, they're just kind of peaking at the right time. And good for Sean Manaea, just kind of sticking around, being like one of the top two guys in their rotation. Like, he's been in the league forever.
He's looked pretty good for him of late.
I love watching him pitch. I'm just like, oh yeah, all right, fantasy or betting. Who's Sean Manaea? Bet for the Mets that day. Okay, got it.
I think there's a very good chance. I'll stick with Atlanta. I like the manager better. I like the team structure. But I would not be shocked, but I'll tell you what, Jordan. We sat here at the All-Star break, and we were like, the Mets, ha-ha, bunch of losers. I'll give them a lot of credit for being here.
Yeah, what did we, the Grimace thing? Like, they went on a winning streak after Grimace, like, throughout the first pitch, and then we kind of laughed at that. Then they lost a bunch after that. We laughed some more.
And then Hawk Tua girl throws out a pitch, and we laughed some more, and they're just a laughingstock. Yet here we are. They're a half game back.
Yeah, I gotta say, man, props to that roster, because, yeah, you're right. I do like Brian Snitker better in Atlanta than their manager. It's like a former pitching guy, not really too high on just random hires. But once again, it seems like the manager, does it really matter at this point? We've been having this conversation on my podcast about, you know, the Mariners possibly really not even being managed by the person in the dugout anymore. I don't really think that's just true of Seattle. I think most teams kind of have like this algorithm that are putting together lineups and that are looking at splits and whatnot. So I does that matter? Not so much, but I love what's happening in New York regardless.
Yeah, and then just to give some love to the top two, the Padres and the Diamondbacks are sitting there. They're actually, it's funny to think about these two teams because I feel like their priorities right now, they're like the wild card. That's for losers. We're not here for that. So that's what makes that race even more interesting, is that the Padres and the Diamondbacks, they do not want the wild card. They can see the division right in front of them. Diamondbacks have slipped a little bit, but the Padres are right there, and they're all going to play each other. There's still games to go. And while the Padres are playing the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks are sitting there going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee-hee.
I mean, I'm not.
And while the Padres are playing the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers are going, hee-hee-hee-hee-hee. And it goes that way for all three of those teams. Dodgers playing the Diamondbacks, Padres going, hee-hee-hee-hee.
Yeah, the cannibalism happening.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, and they're there for it.
I mean, I'm not sure, though, that either team, even with all the matchups against each other, is going to catch the Dodgers at this point. I'm sorry. They're good, yeah. I'm glad that it seems like San Diego is going to be going to the playoffs with their best guy, Fernando Tatis Jr., and I'm assuming he's just ready to go. I expect like a huge month of September from him, and if anybody catches the Dodgers, it's probably going to be the Padres. They're not really getting anybody like in Arizona like the Padres are added to their lineup right now. And frankly,
Arizona's getting Christian Walker back tonight.
Okay, that's fair.
Which is a big move for future Seattle Mariner bust long-term free agent Christian Walker. He's back tonight. So he's no Tatis, but he's pretty damn good. He took him to a World Series last year.
No, that's fair. But I like the San Diego Padres pitching staff a lot more than the Diamondbacks as well. So I gotta lean towards them, but I just don't think anybody's catching the Dodgers in the NL West this year. They just have too many damn hitters. They DFA'd Jason Hayward, 3 days after he hit a go-ahead home run or grand slam or whatever it was against the Seattle Mariners? It just that's how it is in Dodger land.
And I hate that he's an Astro now.
Yeah, I wanted his attitude in the Mariners locker room, but that's like, I don't care if he's hitting 200. It's just like, that's somebody that's
200, you fit in.
Yeah, shut up. That's somebody that's won before, and you want that attitude in the Mariners locker room. You need it, but yeah, Houston gets all the candy and all the best ones, don't they?
Yeah, they do. All right, we'll keep an eye on that because, I mean, this, if the Padres won the division and Dodgers go out early, does Dave Roberts get fired? Ah, that's for another show.
That's probably a whole segment.
But you can hear the timbre in my voice that's trying to will that to existence.
You really want that? I'm not sure it's going to happen.
I really want that. I think he's the second worst manager in baseball.
Outside of Aaron Boone.
Of course. I mean, that's easy.
Sorry, buddy. I disagree with you on that one. I think Pedro Grifol was the worst manager of baseball until he was fired.
Watch your mouth on that Grady Sizemore stuff, all right? I don't care if he's a White Sox. He's an Indian for life. We'll slide over to the American League, which, I teased this earlier, so I'd like to get to it in the second hour, so I don't want to dive too much in it. This is pretty much a three-team race. This is Baltimore, Minnesota, Kansas City right now in that order. Baltimore's got a 5.5 game lead over the Twins, who only have a half game lead over the Royals. But I think what's more fun about what I like, I don't know if it's more fun. What I like about this wild card race in comparison to the National League is that this wild card race, we know for the most part who's going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's going to be New York, Cleveland, Houston, Baltimore, Minnesota, Kansas City. Outside of Houston, we're in that San Diego Padre territory. It ain't about the wild card. It's about the division. Minnesota, Kansas City have their sights set. There's a huge series in Kansas City, or in Cleveland, where Kansas City came to Cleveland, and Kansas City took 3 of 4 and tightened that gap up. And then Kansas City went to lose. I don't want to get too much in that because I want to do that later. But that division is still up for grabs. And then you're talking about the Orioles, Yankees. The Orioles have more wins than the Yankees do right now. But they also have more losses.
Yeah.
So they're technically in the wild card.
Yeah, win percentage, yeah.
But Baltimore and New York, what's going to be fun about this is that they're going to power at each other the entire way through. Because they do not want to be in that wild card because the winner of the East is most likely going to finish with the best record in the American League. And that is so important. And I cannot wait to see how Baltimore, New York pans out.
Yeah, I'm excited. It's nice to see Jackson Holliday finally hitting some bombs for him. It's just like it doesn't matter who they bring up. They hit for Baltimore, so definitely a lot of home runs to be expected out of that race. And, yeah, more cannibalization of – it's crazy. We don't really have a blue blood in baseball this year, and one of the big reasons is because all these great teams are in the same division. In the NL West, in the AL East, you've got the top two or three teams kind of in each league or two of the top teams fighting that. So I'm excited excited to see Aaron Judge obviously setting new home run records, possibly. I also am excited to see another back-to-back-to-back with him and Stanton and Soto, you know, before Juan Soto goes to free agency. It's going to be an exciting month of September. I think just because of the firepower that they have in the organization that they are, I hate saying it. Like, I want the Orioles to beat them. I want them to win the division, but I think the Yankees are going to do it, bro. I hate saying it, but I think they're going to do it.
In 3 weeks, we'll be sitting right here, and at 4.05 p.m. our time, Baltimore on the 24th of September will be in New York for a three-game set. And then they go on the road directly after to the Twins.
And
that's how they finish their season.
And I'm pretty sure that is it. That is like equal to a lot of teams in playoff races are going to be in very key matchups that week. Like the Mariners, the day before, they start a three-game set with the Astros. So if they had any semblance of hope to try to still win the division, it would be to be within three games by the 23rd. That is a very key moment for a lot of teams this season. Definitely those last two series. Woo, coming down to it.
Yeah, you take a look at, I mean, I just looked at the Baltimore month of September. It's not that bad. When the Yankees get off this Rangers road trip, they go to the Cubs. Then they host the Royals for three games.
Yep.
Then they host the Red Sox for four games. Then they're at the Mariners for three, the A's for three. They come home for the Orioles, and they finish at home versus the Pirates, who are kind of a pain in the butt.
Yeah, a little bit.
They're kind of a pain in the butt right now. And so that's going to be fascinating to look at as this things goes, because it's not really a wild card race anymore. It's a division race.
No, and nobody, as you say, teams that are fighting for the wild card essentially are, what, a 4-5 game gap away from the Mariners, the Tigers, anybody that's close. You know, the Red Sox kind of in that group as well. But can Boston really make a run with their schedule in the last month? I don't think so. But like we said, anything's possible. Like the Cubs could make a run over the National League, but like I just don't see, you know, hey, maybe the Tigers will get hot at the right time. They've got some hitters lately that are showing up. They just don't have a complete team. But yeah, I don't really see anybody challenging either of these teams for the other wild card spots. No way.
I'm looking at my Cleveland Guardians schedule for the month of September. Oh boy. After this road trip to Kansas City, got Thursday off. Three games at the Dodgers, three games at the White Sox, which makes you feel better, four games in Tampa, who they're out of it, but they always are hard.
Yeah.
Then four games at home against the Twins. That's going to be a huge series. Then you're on the road for three at the Cardinals and then two with Cincinnati. Cleveland finishes September with three games at home against the Houston Astros.
Ooh, that's a rough one. That's a rough finish to the season.
All you got to hope, like, Cleveland is scoreboard watching for the Mariners to lose. And they hope that 27, 28, 29th of September, Houston's got it with no other position in sight and just mail it in for 3 days.
No, but if they wanted to keep Cleveland maybe out of the playoffs, for instance, would you see them playing hard?
For sure. I wouldn't want to play Cleveland in the playoffs.
Exactly. If I'm looking at like the matchup that I want, I think I'd still go. If I'm Joe Espada, to try to like put the best lineup out there I can.
Yeah. In the American League, I think you look at it like, I don't want to play Baltimore or Houston. Those are the teams I don't want to play because like they're really, really good. All right. But the Yanks, I think, are vulnerable. And every other team, I think, is vulnerable. But then when you get to that second tier of, like, the scrappy team or the true guys you don't want to see, like, I don't want to see Cleveland. I don't want to see Cleveland. I don't want to see the loser of the East. And I don't – I was going to say it about Kansas City, but we'll get to that in a minute. Cleveland is a team that I just don't think you want to see. I think the Yankees you can pitch around. Baltimore's scary.
I don't know. Stephen Kwan doesn't scare me anymore. So seems like he's just falling off a cliff.
Corbin Burns doesn't scare me anymore either.
That's true.
That's a wild thing. Anyway, that's where we are with that. That's where we are in wild card standings. Divisions up for grabs. Placement, positioning, home field, first round, second round matchups. Oh, boy, this is going to be a wild September. We come back. Are we missing the American League Cy Young winner? Can this happen and should this happen? We'll do it next. Hot Corner, Today the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into the possibility of this team finishing with the best record in the National League and also another team going in the wrong direction, which I am so conflicted about. So we got a lot to get to in the second hour. Schultz, you make a fair foul? We doing that?
I have a couple of questions. Not four, but we can try to
we
throw it out.
Open
there.
It up?
Yeah, yeah. We'll have some fun.
Let our freak flags fly.
Why not, baby? Trying to stump you on former Seattle Mariners again. I know I went on that train for a couple of weeks.
I will most likely lose. Nah. The answer is Dustin Ackley.
Hey, he was supposed to hit like Chase Utley, man. He was supposed to.
Shout out to the YouTube feed, Harley, who has joined us, and some dude named Brandon, who has joined us, too.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
Brandon, P1 Brandon here, asks, a last wild card team in either league will make the LCS, true or false?
Ooh, I like that.
I do like that. I do like that question as well.
I'll go true. Why not?
Why not?
It's baseball. Anything can happen.
Texas won a World Series last year.
Yeah, we're not supposed to let the terrible teams beat the good teams, right? So
right. But no. It's baseball, and any terrible team can beat any good team.
Yeah, just because you
have you watched the Oakland A's lately? Actually, my Oakland A's.
They're not bad. They're one of the best teams since the All-Star break,
They got a run of four guys in that lineup that can hit.
They do, yeah. Rooker, Blade, they've got Lawrence Butler. They've actually got
Langoliers.
Yeah, thank you.
Shea Langoliers.
Well.
No, just walking off people.
I think the A's are like 23-17 since the All-Star
they're
break.
They're like one of the best teams in baseball since the All-Star
yeah,
break.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
If that team wasn't such a dumpster fire with an ass hat of an owner, I would back them.
Yeah.
They're so fun to watch.
You look at them on paper, they actually match up this year against a lot of major league teams, like which last year we all kind of just assumed they'd be like that again. No, they're good now.
I'm excited for the Oakland, Sacramento, Vegas, A's chatter in the offseason because I think this team is actually building to be something really good if they can hold on to these guys.
If they can actually move to Vegas.
But I want to kind of move this over into the Cy Young situation that's going on. And it's funny, ESPN has a Cy Young predictor. And I find this really fascinating because I have to imagine it's basically AI generated of stats, an algorithm that kind of pumps it out and says, okay, based on these metrics and what these guys do, this is why this person should win the Cy Young. In both leagues, the top predictor is a reliever.
Oh, really?
The National League is Ryan Helsley. For the St. Louis Cardinals. Yeah. The American League is Emmanuel Clase for the Cleveland Guardians.
Don't we have a Relief Pitcher of the Year award? I don't know if it's still sponsored by Rolaids, but I'm pretty sure. It used to be, I remember in the old MLB The Show games, it was the Rolaids Relief
That's
Pitcher of the Year.
That's such a great troll.
Isn't it?
Like, I got to eat a bottle of Tums because I got to eat a bottle of Rolaids because I got... You know, because I got Fernando Rodney out there on the mound right now,
yeah,
and I have no idea what to do with that. You know, I'm just terrified because here comes Fernando Rodney.
Former Mariner, JJ Putz throwing darts, so I need some Rolaids. No.
Smoking darts, but that's more like it.
No kidding, but that's pretty crazy. I'm pretty sure there is a Reliever of the Year award, so the fact that the metrics even would allow this, I think, is fascinating.
In the National League, your top five predictors, Ryan Helsley at one, Suarez at two. There's another reliever.
Wow, two relievers at the top.
Chris Sale at three, who I think most of us would agree is going to be the National League Cy Young winner.
P1 Brandon says that.
That guy doesn't listen to this show. That guy's an idiot. Zach Wheeler at number four, and Tanner Scott at number five.
Wow.
So of these five, three of them are relievers.
And can we say also Raisel Iglesias for the Atlanta Braves at number six, also
yeah.
a reliever as
yeah.
well.
Yeah, there's relievers in here. You switch, I mean, Kyle Finnegan's at 10 for the Nationals.
That's I didn't even see that.
The American League is Clase at one, Tarik Skubal, who has been absolutely fantastic at two.
Yeah.
Josh Hader. Kirby Yates.
Wow.
Framber Valdez, phenomenal starter. Seth Lugo, phenomenal starter. Corbin Burns, not as good late, but phenomenal starter. Then you get Clay Holmes. There comes another another reliever.
Kirby Yates was just...
Luis Gil and Blanco from the Astros round out that top 10. So my question to you is, like, I think a lot of this is based on metrics and stats and the algorithm and how they want it. So I don't necessarily believe, like, this isn't where my head is.
Yeah.
But the one thing that jumps off this page to me about where my head might be, should Emmanuel Clase win the American League Cy Young? Because I don't think Helsley or Suarez will. I think that's Chris Sale's award right now, unless he stumbles in his next 2 to 3 starts to finish out the month. I think that's his. But in the American League, it's wide open. I feel like they want to give it to Skubal because he's a young kid. It's almost like the James Harden, Russell Westbrook treatment. Like, it's your turn, kid. So we want to give this to you. 64 games, 64.1 innings, 5 earned runs, 55 strikeouts, 41 saves, and an ERA of 0.7. That's Emmanuel Clase.
That's amazing. No, I get the metrics putting him at the top, but I'm just going back to, like, yes, there is a Reliever of the Year award that in the American League, it's called the Mariano Rivera Award. In the National League, it's called the Trevor Hoffman Award. This was only started in 2014, and I would think that it was in response to...
As Mo was still playing, can Mo win his own award?
Yeah, exactly. Love to see that. It's in response to, I believe, the last pitcher to win as a reliever, the Cy Young, was like Eric Gagne.
That's what I was going to say. I think it's Eric Gagne.
And that was what, 2002, 2003? Yes. Okay, I've got the list right here. Eric Gagne, 03. And then 11 years before that, Dennis Eckersley in 1992. Does this happen very often? Back then, no, but I think we're starting to get to, you know, different kind of baseball where relievers are, instead of being like this ninth inning guy only, and actually still back in the day of Eckersley winning in 92, closers threw 3 innings back then.
Yeah.
Baseball's changed significantly, and Eckersley was actually a starter at one point in his career as well, so that kind of muddies the waters a little bit. I think John Schmoltz, I don't know if he won a Cy Young or two, either as a closer or a starter.
He has a Cy as a starter.
Exactly, as a starter, but then he also closed in his career. So I feel like the award for relievers was created to kind of distinguish between the starter and the reliever for future of baseball statistics. Like, right, we come now into this day and age where we're seeing relievers coming in the sixth inning instead of the seventh or the eighth more often than not. Mm-hmm. So you see relievers throwing more pitches. I feel like you still have to give the starting pitchers an award to win. That would be the Cy Young. So specifically based on that, I don't see them handing Clase this. It would be great, like, to see a reliever do it, but there's so many good starting pitchers in this era too that, like, I feel like the Cy Young is just kind of, you're poo-pooing a little bit on the starting pitcher, if that makes sense, if you just hand that to a reliever, especially while you've got a best reliever award.
I know, but I wonder if it's kind of turning in, and I'll compare it to the NFL a little bit. I wonder if it's comparing it or kind of turning into, the MVP is a hitter.
Yes.
The Cy Young is a starter.
Okay.
And to be a reliever or a position player in football, to win an MVP, you have to, like, break Eric Dickerson's record of rushing yards in a season, or who is it? I think it's Strahan still, sacks. Most sacks in a season.
Yeah.
And even that might not get you the award because, you know, they sit there and they go, you know, well, Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, but we're going to give the Offensive Player of the Year award to Christian McCaffrey. And it's like, how is the MVP not the, who is an offensive player, not the Offensive Player of the Year?
That makes sense.
And so I don't want baseball to go the route of kind of what you were saying. We have a reliever award, so why do we need to give a reliever a high accolade? Well, let me tell you this. Justin Verlander has an MVP because he was the MVP of that team. Yeah, he won a Cy Young, but that was just the cherry on top. The reality was, I think in baseball you can win a Cy Young and be an MVP. And if that's the truth, then you can be a reliever and win a Cy Young.
I mean, do you think the nature of the sport, though, maybe it requires baseball to separate these categories like they are? Because you've even seen in football, the NFL nowadays, you have AFC, NFC, you know, rookie offensive, rookie defensive player of the year, offense player of the year, defensive player of the year. Whereas before, they didn't really distinguish that always. Like, it was just a player of the year. And to give each part of the team its due, that's kind of what you're doing here. I understand that you're talking about, like, the best overall, but, like, then where you're going with this conversation, it's like, most valuable player or most valuable player to their team.
Right.
And what are we actually voting for?
Like, A-Rod's MVPs are in Texas and they never made the playoffs.
Exactly.
Are you an MVP?
I mean,
you're bad with him and bad without him.
In Dallas,
there's
yes.
no value. There's no value. Your value is bobblehead night.
Like, I was going to say, yeah, MVP for tickets sold.
I also wonder, and we'll get out on this because I know we're way up against it, but I also wonder, Eckersley wins that Cy Young because the A's had been to World Series, won World Series, and he was the revolutionary closer.
Yes.
You know, kind of the first guy. So that I understand. And Oakland was a high marketable team at that time. Gagne, those Dodgers teams weren't great.
No.
But Gagne did do it for the Dodgers. He had a look to him. He had a physical stature to him, the way he delivered. It was kind of exciting baseball. But he's in L.A.
Yeah.
Does somebody like Clase, or hell, I'll even throw out Helsley in St. Louis, or Suarez in San Diego, because those markets aren't as big, quote unquote, as the Dodgers or Oakland at the time. Does that hurt Clase because he's in Cleveland?
Probably. I would also say that he doesn't have, like,
you say the Cleveland closer is going to be there with Gagne and Eckersley.
I think that if you don't look like Eric Gagne, where you got, like, this crazy, you know, kind of outlandish, like, goggles wearing big old puffy hair thing about you, along with the Los Angeles connection, I feel like all those, the combination of those things, plus his great stats, are what won him that award, the Cy Young that year, as opposed to, like, just those stats. If you saw, like, Shigetoshi Hasegawa have those exact same stats, you know, would he have won that award? I don't know. I'm thinking
right.
not, but I just, it's the LA factor. It's the craziness factor that we all love to see. It's like the Chris Anderson Birdman thing, you know, when he played for the Nuggets and the Heat. We love
yeah,
to see that.
We love to see that.
Yeah.
And real quick, we'll end with this. Tarik Skubal, 168 innings, 201 Ks, a 2.51 ERA. If he wins it, I don't really have an issue with that. He's been really good.
No. And actually,
I hate the Tigers.
Actually, in our brief edition of Fair or Foul, one of our questions is about Tarik Skubal, or at least contains a little fact about him.
All right. Well, that's the Cy Young. I'm really excited to see how that pans out in both leagues. I do think Sale will have it in the National League, but I'm very, very curious what the American League goes. And a shout out to my good old friend, Brandon Sprague, who actually listens to my show because I actually listen to his show. So thank you, my friend. I miss you. I haven't seen you in a while. When we come back, one team is going in the wrong direction and another team could sneak up and get the best record in the National League. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good.
Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Now you're kissing Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay. That sounds good.
Kyle Round.
I'm gonna read it.
Yeah, read it.
Dear Chase. Oh, they're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome to the second hour of the Hot Corner. You missed in the first hour. You can download that, the Fan podcast at 1080thefan.com. The Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. Had a really fun hour. Joe Fisher out today as he's got to tend to Medium Joe, who's getting ready to slay middle school or high school, middle school. He's not that old, right? Oh, God.
I mean, he's like 13.
Oh, God, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, we're getting older, buddy.
Is Medium a freshman?
I think he can't be a
freshman. No, he's got
to
be.
No, still middle school. He's too small to be a freshman. Although my barometer is way off nowadays.
Holy yes, I almost had a stroke. So we gave Joe the night off. He's done a bunch of heavy lifting for me for the summer, so I can't appreciate him enough. He like gave me this long thing about why he was sorry that he couldn't make tonight, and I was like, Joe, dude, you got it, brother.
Bro.
Joe Fish, dude. Me and that guy, we've been together for a long time.
Hey, actually, really cool factoid that I should
share. Great co-host, average producer. I only say that because he's not listening.
Yeah, you're funny. He's amazing. What are we talking about?
I love Joe.
I love Joe as well. Great factoid I should share with the show. I might be at Dodger Stadium watching the Doyers versus the Padres, the game, the Shohei Ohtani breaks the 50-50 mark.
Get it, dude.
So I'm going to be there. It's just because I'm happening to go on, like, it's like the last week of the month, and we are going the 27th, I believe, is the game we're going to. So just kind of have a shot near the end of the season because, you know, you would assume it's going to take him a couple of weeks to get a few more home runs. I'm kind of hoping that happens. Like he's, you know, at 49 home runs or 49 and 49 or whatever, right when I get to go. So be pretty cool to be there for such a historic moment at the end of this month.
Can you steal a base on a home run?
On a home run? I mean, technically, if like the fans run out on the field. No, like, I don't think like, there's any way.
Like if you hit a single and they throw it to first base, and you got there before.
Yeah.
And he catches the ball and touches first, and they're like, okay, you're safe, which the play is now over. And then he drops the ball, and Shohei runs from first to home. That's a single and three stolen bases, right? That's not a home run.
Well, is the
with a stolen base in the middle?
Might be a Little League home run. Is it like the dead ball and then the next at bat happens and then a stolen base, or are you just talking about like
I'm talking about in the same yeah.
I don't think that's how stolen bases count, even though MLB probably wants them to.
If this were basketball, they would change the rules to make it so Shohei could get it easier. I mean, they did that for like Westbrook and all that garbage.
Absolutely.
We got a lot to get to. Looks like we will do a little bit of fair foul at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, try to get a couple questions.
Yeah, we'll
I've got
a little,
some stumpers.
If
for
anything,
you.
We can either trivia or open discussion on some stuff.
I just realized that my fantasy football draft was at 6 p.m. tonight. Did not show up.
Ooh, on the auto, huh?
Yeah, wonder who my quarterback is. Wonder who my first pick was.
You know what, dude? I got a really good feeling that you really hit the quarterback market, dude.
I hope so. Can I
trust? Bet you got Will Levis as a steal.
Oh, I don't
in
want
the
that.
Second round.
I don't want the mayonnaise master. No way, bro. No, can I trust treat with you though?
Sure.
The 1 year that I have placed in fantasy football, it was off.
It was an auto draft
that I missed. Yeah. So I was like, all right, well, maybe it's my year again.
Dude, I haven't auto drafted a fantasy league in like 15 years.
Well, you're in a good keeper at least for MLB, right?
I'm in two. Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I got to get into, but I'm just too scared that like I'll just pull a big old ADHD like I did today and just forget.
Dude, I'm in a keeper league that I've been in for over 10 years.
That's some dedication.
And there are dudes that are in that league that started that league and were writing stuff down.
Oh, we're talking old, like handwritten notes?
Yeah,
oh,
I am currently in fifth place. It's rotisserie, too.
Okay.
So it's like super old school.
Mm-hmm.
It's rotisserie. I am currently in fifth place.
Are you the youngest person in this league?
Probably. Yeah. I am currently in fifth place. Sixth place has no chance to catch me. And I have no chance to catch fourth place. And this will be the highest I've ever finished in this league.
How many places pay every year?
Only first.
Only for, ooh, so that's an all or nothing.
12-team league. Like that. Six keepers, three minor leaguers.
Oh, my God.
The guy who has Bryce Harper always had Bryce Harper.
Damn it. Yeah, he's had Bryce Harper.
The guy who has Mike Trout has Mike Trout because the guy who originally had him, when Mike got called up in April, had a bad April, and they sent him down, and the guy dropped him.
So they're still reeling from that.
Yeah, and this dude picked him up, and
a decade later,
three MVPs and probably two chips, and
yeah, that would get you fired in real life, there, buddy. But he's got the Perry Manassian staying power, right?
But I want to get to this. I can't get to anything. So I want to ask you when we come back. I want to get into a little bit some division leaders or teams that have aspirations of winning the divisions. I was listening to a game of theirs on the radio the other day. I think it was yesterday, actually. And it made me realize that I'm not really paying attention to them. And maybe I should. And I think I didn't pay attention to them for a myriad of reasons. Quote unquote, maybe their best player got hurt and is done for the year. Their pitching staff isn't quite what it was. They lost a great manager. This team can't be good. I picked against them at the beginning of the year. I thought they'd finish second, if not even third in their division. And they're running away with it. And they have a chance to potentially win not only the best record in the National League, but the best record in baseball. The flip side is there's another team that I did pick to do well, that was doing well, and now all of a sudden they are really not doing well. So I will ask the question, what do you believe in more, the upside or the downside? And we'll do that next. That's Schultzy with me, Patrick Harris, 1080 The Fan. Everybody's favorite fair or foul coming up here in about 15, 20 minutes. I got Dodgers Angels on the boob tube right now.
It's a standing ovation from Angels fans for Shohei earlier tonight.
Yeah, 2-2 game right now. Diamondbacks up 7-1 on the Giants.
Ah, good for AZ, baby. It's a winning organization
right
there.
What's super funny is my phone was like blowing up all day about how Anaheim wasn't going to do a tribute to Shohei. And then they just had some little like video thing that said, "Welcome back, Shohei, rookie of the year, two-time MVP, and a silver slugger winner."
Of course they're going to do a tribute.
But it's like, that's it? Dude,
what are they going to do?
Shohei Ohtani was in Anaheim for 4 years and is the second greatest Angel of all time.
What, so they should do on his return like a Shohei Ohtani bobblehead?
Hell yeah, dude.
Oh, that's stupid.
They only don't because they're idiots and didn't trade him and they got nothing to show for it.
They just re-signed their GM, their idiot GM, to a new contract. Come on. We know that they're stupid. They're slightly more stupid than the Seattle Mariners? Come on, we know that they're not right down there.
You know, there are things about baseball, the unwritten rules, all this kind of fuddy-duddy old man stuff, that for the most part I'm here for, and the unwritten rules, but it's also just like, why the level of like stupidity and arrogance from some of these teams just blows me away. Like Moreno, like, just say, "Hey, dude, thanks, man. It was really rad that you were with us for a little bit."
Yeah, the hubris of owners and general managers, it's kind of disgusting.
But I also kind of want them to be more petty. I think it would have been better if Anaheim just didn't say anything. Now batting, DH, 17, Shohei Ohtani. And let the fans do what the fans want to do. But there's no pomp and circumstance, and then Shohei goes deep, and that'd be awesome.
I mean, if you're the Angels, you can't not put something on the video board, or you'll get even more trolled.
They told me all day they weren't going to.
Well, of course, because they want to, what is it? You set the bar low, and then you over-deliver, right? Yeah, set up some low expectations, and then you over-deliver. Don't promise too much and then under-deliver. I think they went about it the right way.
Yeah. So I got a question for you.
Lay it on me, brother.
My friend.
It's not about the Mariners, right?
Tis not.
Good. Let's go. little traumatized right now by that.
Schultzy, I'm going to say this in the most professional, polite way possible. Today is September 3rd. We are in the home stretch of baseball. I only have bandwidth to talk about teams that have a chance.
You know what, bro? The definition of a chance is a little different in your and my mind.
I mean that professionally.
I know.
As a friend.
Jordan, seek help. I get it. I will try.
And as a divorcee of my mistress, the Seattle Mariners, I don't have bandwidth.
Nice Rainiers hat, though.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Go to Rainiers games, dude. Future Yankees played for the Rainiers.
Hey, when the Beavs were here, I went to a lot of Rainiers games. That was fun.
Logan Gilbert played for the Rainiers. He's going to be a Yankee someday.
Shut up. Oh, God. I mean, they're probably going to trade Logan Gilbert, but it better not be to the Yankees.
Unless it's
for Jason Dominguez, but moving on.
But I find there's a couple teams that I think are a little under the radar right now that people aren't really paying attention to unless you're like diehard nerdy. And so I will ask, I wanted to kind of give them their own breathing room, but we've talked about both of them today, so maybe we don't need as much breathing room as I thought. I got two teams going in the opposite direction. One of them I've been focusing on because they're in my division and I kind of picked them to be a surprise standout team. But the other is one that I think we've all buried for dead. And the two teams I'm talking about are the Milwaukee Brewers and the Kansas City Royals. And these two teams are on a trajectory right now that are in completely different zones. And I want to start with Milwaukee because I think what we are failing to realize with this team, they're 81-58. They have a 10-game lead over the Cubs in the Central. And this team, if you watch them play, which, guilty as charged, I have not really watched them play, but I was listening to a game of theirs on the radio yesterday. And I was listening to it for about 2.5 hours. I pretty much got the entire game. The Brewers were playing the Cardinals, and the Cardinals have been playing a little better of late. But then I started listening to some, kind of the Brewers broadcasters talk, and I realized this team is built on pretty solid pitching, pretty solid defense, pretty solid managing, pretty solid hitting, pretty solid veterans, and a pretty solid young kid. And then it dawned on me, it was like, wait a sec. This team could have the best record in baseball. They're 2 games behind the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. They're 1 game behind Philly for the second best record in the National League. Are we sleeping on this team?
I mean, we don't really know much about them if you're not watching them every day, right? But they still have, I think, one of the best batting catchers in the league at Wilson Contreras. He's having a great year. I need to go get me a Jackson Chourio jersey because that shortstop or outfielder combo young kid, whatever he's playing for them, he has had a great breakout rookie season so far. It's just kind of like this combo of a couple of young kids and then Willy Adames hitting out of his ass. And then you've got Jake Bowers and Gary Sanchez, just kind of former vets, adding, you know, a few home runs here and there to the list. Are their batting averages crazy? No, but they're adding production at the right times. And along with, you know, yeah, Sal Frelick having a good one. Remember, they got Rhys Hoskins. Like, they are the Rhys Hoskins winners. He's not hitting great, but he's still hit like 25 home runs this year. And you would think
in a big situation, Hoskins will deliver.
Exactly. They've got a lot of clutch-up guys. And with their, I'd say, mediocre to okay pitching staff, they've got the batters to do it. I don't know about winning a World Series, but in this year of, once again, no blue bloods in baseball, why not the Milwaukee Brewers? They just keep on hitting. Good for them.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, with Milwaukee is just, I've read this book, I've seen this episode, I paid tickets to the movies, and I even saw an understudy on Broadway. I know how this show goes. I know what happens. They show up and they disappear.
Yeah, first like round
a,
wild card.
Like gone. A fart in the wind. You know? That's just kind of what it is. The Brewers show up and you're like, look out! Look out!
Best movie ever, Shawshank Redemption.
And then they just kind of disappear. Pat Murphy might deserve National League Manager of the Year. He's not going to win it.
No, but he's damn good.
Because they're going to give it to what's-his-butt in San Diego on his revenge tour. So, like,
Mike Schilt, yeah.
Yeah, Schilt.
But which, as they should.
Sorry, I try not to say his name because I'm terrified I'm going to get fined by the FCC.
It's okay. Just there's a silent D in there, all right? It's fine.
Schilt.
Just try to say my name with an I in the middle.
Schilt.
Close enough.
I know they're going to give it to him, but, you know, Pat Murphy gets no love. So I find this club interesting. Jackson Churio as a kid. Losing Yelich makes me sad, but welcome to having Christian Yelich on your team. Wow, we're playing really good. We really need Yelich to come through in the end. And he's on the DL for 3 months.
It's kind of funny, like, looking at their starters without him. They still kind of look like a complete lineup. Like, I'm not seeing, yes, you obviously want a former MVP in your lineup whenever you can get him, but, like, I'm not seeing a spot where it's too concerning that he's down right now. Like, you got young kids stepping in just fine, so they got their own, like, James Outman even, and, like, Blake Perkins. Like, yeah. I don't even know some of these young kids on this roster, but they're producing.
Yeah. It's the team nobody's watching and nobody's listening, despite having Bob Uecker on the call.
Just a bit outside.
Do you think this team can do something? Should we spend the month of September watching Brewers games?
I think I need to tune into a couple of
Brewers
games.
I think it's time.
Why not?
I think it's time.
They've got a young nucleus, and
Jackson Churio's exciting. Exactly. Hit a grand slam the other day.
As I figured out as a Mariners fan, you don't need, in fact, like, starting pitching at an elite level will not get you anywhere unless you've got great hitters. Milwaukee doesn't have elite starting pitching, but you don't need it to get to the playoffs. They've got two starting pitchers with ERAs over 4.
Paging New York Yankees.
No, their bullpen's been getting it done for them. I would say, yeah, the Brewers at least have what it takes to get to the wild card, but like you said, they usually fall off. I'm not convinced they're going to get to a World
Series. All right, let's make a blood agreement. We'll watch more Brewers games for the next 3 weeks just so we can at least pretend to be informed going into the playoffs.
And then
I'll pick the Brewers to win a series and they'll lose and it'll be perfect.
I will commit to watching at least 2 Brewers games a week. I was going to say more, but
two
I'm like...
2 a week.
There's like so many football games now. We got the NFL starting this
That's
week.
That's right. The Premier League started a couple weeks ago,
yeah,
too.
The NFL Brasilia matchup this Friday. So, like, no. Like, there's a lot coming up along with college football getting going.
I'm so glad I don't watch football. This is great. I just watch baseball and watch you losers freak out about Alvin Kamara only on the rock 20 times. Dennis Allen should be fired.
Or freak out about the Ducks offensive line. Yeah, yeah.
My Cougs on 70, so go Cougs. And last on this, sliding over to the team in the opposite direction, it's my Kansas City Royals. I picked this team to be a sleeper in the American League, and boy, have they outperformed everything. Bobby Witt Jr., sold. Absolutely sold. Absolutely sold. I would like to apologize to one of my best friends in the world, to my good buddy Elliot, who had the second pick in the draft of fantasy this year, building a dynasty league. Acuna went 1. Sorry to that guy. But that made the most sense. And my buddy had number 2. And he was like, do I take Julio or do I take Bobby Witt? And I said, amigo, I think you got to take Julio. I think there's more power there.
Well, there is.
And Bobby Witt's on the Royals, and I don't think they're very good. And the Mariners should be a playoff contender. And boy. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the coolest players I've maybe ever seen in baseball. He is so fun to watch.
He's something else, man.
But guess what? We got problems in Kansas City. Kansas City went to Cleveland, took 3 of 4 to tighten that division up, and they look like they were ready to roll. Since then, they are 3-7 with a 6-game losing streak. They lost again tonight, so I believe it's at 7 tonight. This team is going in the wrong direction, and I'm so sad about it. I think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're not going to be pretty in it, and that makes me so sad. Sal Perez has had a, in my opinion, Hall of Fame locked kind of season. What he's done this year tells me, yep, I'm voting Sal Perez first ballot. I mean, I also believe if you vote a guy any ballot, they're technically a first ballot. Seth Lugo, left for dead from that insane 2015 Mets starting rotation that was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread in baseball. All those guys are dead, and Seth Lugo is putting in the best season of his career. I'm kind of a little heartbroken that Kansas City's going the wrong way, and it might just be, you know, kind of reminds me of the Astros in 15. They were ahead of schedule, got in the playoffs, played the Royals, funny enough, and gave them a hell of a time. Royals went on to win the World Series that year, but the Astros gave them a hell of a time, and they were a little ahead of schedule. I want so badly for Kansas City to do this, but I think they're just coming up a little short.
Well, it looks like their pitchers are kind of having a few problems very similar to the Seattle Mariners, where their pitchers, at least starters wise, are actually throwing pretty decent outings. You know, they're going 5-6 innings. They're not really allowing many runs, but it's either the bullpen that'll come in, and because there's so much pressure for them to deliver with hitters not really great at the plate right now, that house of cards kind of starts to fail at some point during the year, and I think you're starting to see a little bit of that with Kansas City. Plus, they just had one of their best players and kind of their most underrated player, in my opinion, in Vinny Pasquantino, go on the IL, man. Yep. First baseman, middle of the lineup. He literally, if you go look at every single box score, who bats right after Bobby Witt Jr.? Vinny Pasquantino. And he is always knocking that dude in, and I feel like he, like, singularly outside of Bobby Witt Jr., has been one of the reasons, you know, big reasons for the Royals' success, minus their pitching staff, minus guys like Seth Lugo, and then, of course, the future Hall of Famer in Salvador Perez. But yeah, I think you're just seeing the bullpen trying to shoulder a load right now that's a little too much, and hitters are just kind of starting to fall off of the really good years that they've had so far.
Yeah, and I think this team is built heavily on that bullpen. They spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Urseg has been so good, and of late, he's not been good. And it looks like he's dealing with something. Also, their manager is now MIA.
Oh, yeah, he's on a personal leave, Matt Cattaro.
Yeah, he's on a personal leave, and it's kind of like, I hate to say it, but in this kind of day and age, are you in a personal leave for a health matter or a family matter, or are you in a personal leave because the Athletic's about to drop a bomb about you're a terrible person?
Oh,
you know, so like, I don't know. I don't know anything. I hate that speculating, but I also saw something really cool today. Brady Singer, of all starting pitchers that qualify, has the largest drop in ERA of any pitcher in baseball. 2.1. He has dropped his ERA by 2.1 since last year. That's absolutely phenomenal. And him and Seth Lugo and the kid Cole Reagans, like, you could have Michael Wacha. Old man Wacha has been pretty good this year for them. It's funny I say old man Wacha. He's 33.
But he's been around for like more than
feel
a decade.
Like, yeah, forever. I feel like he played for the Cardinals in like the 90s with Mark McGwire. This team is built to be cool. I just am scared that they're running out of gas at the worst possible time.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, they're a good team. I think they've got like kind of a pretty wide window, maybe wider than people thought now with the pitching staff, the way that it's shown up this year. Go and maybe try to replace, you know, some of your starters that you think are starting to like falter now or getting older with a couple of mid-tier guys, and then hopefully you've got, I don't really know much about Kansas City's minor league system, but hopefully they got a couple of guys coming up that could supplement that, because like they just feel like they're like one piece away at this point, either pitching or hitting, and then they'd be not like the premier team, one of the premier teams in the American League, but in that next step down.
Maybe they'll get Pete Alonso or Christian Walker, who knows. outbid the Mariners, who knows.
That's, I like that.
All right, we come back. We'll get to fair or foul. A fun little stat here that I don't know if Schultzy saw put on his update. Wyatt Langford just hit a walk-off grand slam against the Yankees. We'll take that, even though Texas is dead in the water. So adios to that. Otani just struck out again against the Angels tonight. I wonder if there's a little bit of pressure on him there, and he's kind of feeding it. Anyway, when we come back, we got 30 more minutes with a little fair or foul. But first, Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Ronnie Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
Sorry about that. I was watching my phone because Paul Skeens...
took another picture on a boat with Libby Dunn.
He threw a pitch that he thought was a strike. It was not a strike. It was slightly outside the box. But he started to walk off the mound thinking he got the strikeout to the end of the inning. And the umpire goes, "Paul!" And he stops. And he goes, the umpire looks at him and goes, "No." Once again, an umpire trying to upstage a great young future superstar of the league.
You know they're not there to see you, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Any of these guys, like, you truly don't believe, like, Kerwin Danley, got bald guy, been around forever. I don't believe he thinks that, like, people are ever there to see him. But, like, a Joe West or, like, a Hunter Wennerstedt.
C.B. Buckner.
C.B. Buckner. Wennerstedt is the man that threw Aaron Boone out for whoever was over the top of the Yankees dugout, saying, get it together, Blue. Like, they truly believe fans want to watch them. And when Hunter says, oh, it's about keeping the players in the game and we got to throw the manager out. No, Hunter, it's about you. It's about your ego. F you. Ah. Just, I could go on a rant for that, about that for hours, bro.
That's that ball that skeins through is like 6 inches off the zone. I'd rather have the ump just ring him up.
I know, right?
Just call it a strike.
Just do it.
Just give it to him.
Good Lord.
Nah, then we'll turn in the NBA. Nobody wants that. All right, this is everybody's favorite. Do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is Fair or Foul. A shortened edition, just me and Schultz here. So I'll throw it to you, Jordan Schultz.
Appreciate you. I got two stumpy questions. I think these are going to be pretty good ones, both involving some stats. One,
Sterling Hitchcock.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay.
That guy, that's a name from back in the day. Former Mariner, by the way.
Norm Charlton, the sheriff.
Part of the, what is it, the Mean Green Machine or the Mean Machine? What was the Reds 90s Super Bowl or World Series winning team?
Big Red Machine?
Yeah, the Big Red Machine. Thank you. Yeah, it's like he was part of that. Or there was like a group of guys in the bullpen, Rob Dibble, Norm Charlton.
Oh, for the Mariners.
No. For the Reds in the 90s, it was like the,
oh, Big Red Machine is 70s.
Yeah, there was a group, those three relievers had like a nickname, and I can't remember what it was. But you're onto something with the Normie thing. I like
Sweet,
it.
Sweet Lou in Cincinnati. 91, I believe.
Yes, you are correct. Then came to the Mariners the next year in 92. All right, so this is actually involving the Mariners, but it's also involving the best starting pitcher in baseball, which I believe everybody to this point knows is Tarik Skubal. He has been been pitching out of his ass. 16-4, 2.51 ERA. Fair or foul, Patrick, that his ERA is worse than the Mariners starting pitcher's ERA at home all year? Fair or foul? His ERA, Tarik Skubal's ERA, is worse than the combined ERA of Mariners starters at T-Mobile Park.
I want you to repeat after me. Tarik.
Tarik, sorry.
Tarik.
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 Now say his name.
It's another one of those. Tarik Skubal.
There you go.
It's another one of those Arozarena type of things for me, apparently.
I was hoping you would do the Joey from Friends and say, Tarik, Tarik, Tarik. All right, now say it on your own. Tarik Skubal.
Sorry. I don't think I'm that stupid. I'm stupid. I don't think I'm that stupid.
So his ERA
is worse than the entire Mariners.
Starters at home
at T-Mobile Park. Fair or foul?
Damn it, sign me up. I'm saying fair to this. I think the Mariners starting pitching is so damn good, so amazing, that it is unfortunate that nobody knows, because this team is absolute trash. But I will give them some love. I know the pitcher with the most innings thrown in the month of August is Brian Wu.
That is correct.
And that is an amazing stat, because he has been hot.
Never threw more than like 14 or 15 innings in a month before he ended up leading the league, I think, with like 40 or 41 overall in August.
As Michael Scott would say, hot, hot, hot.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
I will say fair. I think the Mariners starting pitching is a better ERA than Tarik Skubal at home than he does on the whole season.
So at one point it was, but at this point, if you're talking about right now, it is foul, but it's close.
It's that SOB George Kirby, huh? Guy's a bum.
It's really washed, has nothing to do with any washed of the five guys.
Is it Luis Castillo's token home run in the third inning?
Yeah, probably. All his solo jacks. I mean, I'm not sure 1-5 you could be much better than this. So going into their last series at home, this is when the data was taken from Patrick, a 2.61 ERA for Seattle Mariners starting pitchers at T-Mobile Park, compared to, at the time, Tarik Skubal had a 2.58 ERA, now down to 2.51. So even then, the Mariners were slightly below it, but it was at one point earlier this season true that the Mariners' starting pitchers 1 through 5 did have the best ERA, even better than any singular starter in baseball. That's just a nuts stat, and more frustrating, in my opinion, that the Mariners are just kind of wasting it by not spending money on a hitter.
I mean, it's like Tarik Skubal, like, you're amazing, but do you know there's a group of 5 guys that are better than you? You're like, damn it. What do I gotta do? What do I gotta do?
Multiply yourself by 5?
I'm trying over here, man. Nobody's helping me out.
I mean, just think about that. Going into T-Mobile Park, opponents have to face Tarik Skubal 1 through 5 every single day. Every day. The equivalent of Skubal's pitching talent is what opponents have to deal with when they go up to T-Mobile Park. The fact that the Mariners still don't lead the AL West, it's just like a shot to the heart.
Do you want to know something?
Yeah, sure.
To give love to Tarik Skubal, Mariners are 5 games back from a wild card.
They are.
Tigers are 4.5.
Oh, I know. I tweeted out yesterday, was I in the Twilight Zone or not?
That hurts.
It's weird to see the Tigers with a better record than the Seattle Mariners.
I knew AJ Hinch was a good hire for them.
I didn't think he was better than what the Mariners could be, but well, here we are sitting with Dan Wilson, and I digress. But is it Dan's fault? It's debatable. Was it Scott's fault? It's debatable.
All right. We all know whose fault it is.
John Stanton and Jerry DePoto. Let's say it together, everybody. All right, fair foul number 2, the final fair foul question of this shortened version this evening. We're going Milwaukee Brewers, actually, and talking about the very, very talented batting out of his booty this season, Willy Adames. So fair or foul, Willy Adames has the same amount or more 3-run home runs than 7 other teams in Major League Baseball this season. So fair or foul, Willy Adames alone has more 3-run home runs or more or as the same as 7 teams in Major League Baseball.
Okay, I need one more time.
All right, so he has hit as many or more 3-run home runs than 7 teams in Major League
this
Baseball.
This season,
fair or foul?
You know what? I did hear when I was listening to that game the other day. It was yesterday. I'm confirming this. Willy Adames was born on September 2nd of 1995. All right? Okay. That means his birthday was yesterday. Willy Adames, on his 29th birthday, hit his 29th home run of the 2024 season.
Yes.
He has an OPS of 812. For a shortstop, that's pretty good.
I know. He's hitting a lot of homers.
I'm going to give him credit. I'm going to say fair. I think he's got more 3-run jacks than anybody else. How else is this damn Brewers team good?
Yeah, it's fair.
If you got a guy that's got more 3-run home runs than 7 other teams in baseball, that's how you're good.
All right, it's 6. I miscounted, but you're right. Colorado Rockies at 13. The San Francisco Giants at 13. This is all 3-run home runs, by the way, by team. The Seattle Mariners at 12. The Tampa Bay Rays at 12. The Pirates at 11. And the White Sox and Cardinals each with 9 3-run home runs. Willy Adames, of course, tying at the top of that list with the Rockies and San Francisco Giants with 13 just himself.
I'm surprised the White Sox have 9.
I know, right?
I'm surprised they have 9 home runs.
I mean, yeah, you talk about productive home runs. You hate to see your team hitting a bunch of solo jacks, right? It's nice to see. I would assume his batting average with runners in scoring position is through the roof this year.
I would love to see, obviously, of qualifying starters, who has given up the most solo shots in baseball this year, because I would put some decent money on Luis Castillo.
I would agree with you.
Solo shots in the first 3 innings, like that's what he does.
Yeah, I feel like that's like a minus 500 or 1,000 that Luis leads that step.
And the Mariners lose the game 2-1.
Yeah, usually, because the bullpen just kind of like...
And they're like, oh, there's Castillo, shaky as always, giving up a solo jack in the third, and that's why we lose.
No, what that sounds like is a Felix Hernandez stat for many, many years with the Seattle Mariners.
All right, when we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. Maybe we'll talk a little football. Who knows? This is the Hot Corner, 10 of the Fans. Coming up next week, we're about to get into Joseph will be back. I think it's worth talking about Frankie Lindor as a potential MVP in the National League. If Shohei wins it, he will be the first DH to ever win an MVP. Will that factor into voters' decisions? Do the Mets make a surge and make the playoffs? Should that factor in? I would argue yes. So we'll get into that, plus just keeping an eye on everything as Shohei races for 50-50, as Judge races for 63. There's still a lot to get to in the last of the season. So come back with us next week, every Tuesday from 7 to 9. Schultzy, you got to be through the roof, as is everybody here at 10 of the Fan, not named Patrick Harris, that your beloved foosball is back.
Yeah, damn right. Excited. College football, just inject that S right into my veins. Was excited basically what Thursday night through Monday night, was able to catch a different game of note. And give it to me. Give it to me more. And Florida State losing last night. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what was more exciting over the weekend for you? Like getting to see your Ducks play or getting to see somebody like Florida State S the bed again?
I mean, just I think seeing the Florida State S-ing the bed, because my anticipation for the Ducks kind of was popped like a balloon during that game. I mean, that was a pretty rough one. After, yeah, they came out, they scored a quick touchdown. Dylan Gabriel was throwing some passes around, but the stats, if you just look at the box score, it's a very deceiving box score for you. The game was not great. So my anticipation kind of then moved on to see, like, you know, what Washington was doing in the late night game. And then on Sunday, a couple more great matchups, and then LSU losing again, you know, Brian Kelly with the fist bump. Like, it was a great weekend full of some really good week one matchups.
I feel really good. My Cougs put a 70 up on the board,
yeah.
A 7-0.
See the Beavs too? You guys are kind of running the Pac-12 right now, or the Pac-2, I guess I should say.
Well, there is only two teams, so no, yeah, we are running it.
But you're really, really good, so you really are running it.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm a little optimistic about my Cougs this year. I'm more worried about long term. But see, the difference between my Cougs and the Beavs, and this is no shot at the Beavs, because we are brethren. We have always been brethren, and now we are married as brethren.
So,
but I always feel a little more lucky in my Wazoo situation because we kept our coach. We had a quarterback succession plan, and that's all coming to fruition. So, like, what we did yesterday, I mean, I'm surprised we put 70 on the board, but I'm not surprised that the offense ran the way it needed to run. Now, the defense was a little spotty in places, but Dicker's a defense guy. I believe in him. He's going to be totally – well, our defense will be totally fine. We lost a lot of guys. A lot of guys. Dudes drafted, seniors, etc. Defense is going to take some work. But, hey, we put 70 up on a team that's beat us twice in the last 10 years. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, as a Wazoo fan, I'm happy about it. Oregon State is where I'm a little more worried about them. I'm a little more worried about them because, you know, like, what's the quarterback situation like? You've got a first-year coach – insane turnover. Your best prospects are gone. You know, your running back situation is weird, and there's just a lot of chaos over there.
I'm pretty excited what they got going on at Oregon State, actually. I think they're going to be sneaky good.
Yeah?
I mean, Javonte McCoy, the transfer at quarterback from Idaho. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, he didn't
go Vandals.
Yeah, he didn't beat the Ducks, but he beat up on Idaho State this weekend as an Oregon State Beaver. I thought he looked good. And then Hankerson and Jam Griffin both running for almost 160 yards and two tutties each. Like, I'm not concerned about, like, their skill positions. Sure, the wide receivers, you know, Gould going off to the NFL, they did lose a couple of people on the Beavers offense. But Trent Bray got his first win as a new Beavers head coach, so congrats. Like, maybe that's the start of something. I'd heard, you know, some reports of just tumultuous, like, starting to the program for him. The practices weren't really being run that smoothly back in the spring. But, hey, you know, time will tell if he can actually get something installed and get a culture going. And from game one, I saw something of a culture. I saw some players that at least seemed gritty, ready to play. So good for Oregon State.
Who's Oregon got next week?
Well, Boise State coming up this Saturday night,
which you can hear right here on 1080 The Fan, home of the Ducks.
Very scary.
Wazoo's got Texas Tech at home. I'm excited about that.
the thankfully Tyler Shuckless Texas Tech Raiders.
I just figured that guy would play for the next 10 years in college football.
Well, he did transfer. Where did he transfer this year?
Oh, he's not at Texas. He's still in college?
Yeah, he went to Louisville.
He left Texas Tech?
Yes, he went to Louisville. He's one of those guys that thinks that he'll just find a starting job.
Who beat him out of Texas Tech?
I don't know. I don't even care. I mean, last year he had a horrible year, so 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He only threw 111 passes before they decided to move on.
So. I am not here for football yet. I've got too much on the slate. I got baseball, you know, baseball. I'm in the home stretch here. There's a lot going on, so I'm still focused on baseball. And my second love, which is the English Premier League, started 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I just, I can't. I need the NFL to start in, like, October. Can I just, like, get a break? I can't do this. It's too much.
Yeah, let me page Roger Goodell. I'm sure he'll put some billions on hold for you and push it off just so all you soccer fans and baseball fans can finish up your season.
Well, it's just rude. It's just rude, all right? I'm out of bandwidth.
The NFL rules all. They now don't own just a day of the week. They own like 4. And hell, they own like half the year. When it comes to like September through February, I would say the NFL pretty much owns it.
God, and this week, what is it? Thursday, Friday, Sunday, and Monday?
Monday, then right back to Thursday. And I believe the Monday night's always a doubleheader in the first week of the season.
I also think the NFL is just sick sometimes. Like, Baltimore at Kansas City for the opener.
Oh.
Kansas City's going to raise a banner and get their rings, and they're going to say, hey, Lamar Jackson, you have to go to Kansas City, you 2-time MVP, and you have to stand there and watch Patty get his 3rd ring, and you get nothing.
Mariners just got walked off again for the 2nd night in a row.
Well, let's get out of here, dude.
Okay, yeah, let's...
We can't do this anymore. It's time to go. By the A's?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Seth Brown, who hit the game-tying homer earlier in the evening, got the game-winning base hit. It was just an RBI single, but that's all they needed. I think the bases were either loaded or they had to go ahead and run around 2nd.
Oh, God. Let's get the hell out of here.
6.5 out now, the AL West. I would say that is the nail in the coffin for the Seattle Mariners.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next week. Joe should return. We wish him and Medium Joe, the kid that I once saw as a small child who is now about to be an adult, venture more school. So Joe will be back next week, and we'll dive into more. We got a loaded last month of the season, so stick with us. For Jordan Schultz, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I would do.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.